Welcome to Time Management Radio. I'm Catherine McKinnon, a 20-year executive coach, time management expert, and author of Triple Your Time Today on Amazon. I can help you change the way you spend your time so you can change your life. Guests on this show are experts in all areas of time management and productivity and offer advice to transform every area of your life, from your heart, your mind, and your body to your soul, from the latest productivity tips to optimizing your time, building wealth for your business or career, from healthy living habits to tips on increasing your energy, from metaphysics to quantum physics, all expanding on one truth. It's not how much time you have that matters. What matters most is how you spend the time you have. You can find me at katherine-mckinnon.com. That's katherine-mckinnon. And you can find Time Management Radio on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes. I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast. Is procrastination keeping you from experiencing the productivity, happiness, or wealth you want? Let's say you have a project you need to get done, but you find yourself procrastinating. You tell yourself you get to it eventually, and maybe you even put it on your calendar, but then something comes up. You get interrupted or distracted, and you don't get it done. And let's say this project is really important to you, but you find yourself sabotaging your own efforts. Maybe you start it, but then you resist finishing it. Or maybe you don't even start it at all. Well, some years ago, I had a coaching client, Rachel, who wanted to build her business. She knew growing her business would help her improve her financial situation, but she was stressed and overwhelmed by all the steps she needed to take. Every time she started to see a little progress in her business, something would happen and she'd procrastinate on doing the work. Rachel knew the steps she had to take to get organized, but she always found some distraction or excuse to get in her way that would sabotage her efforts, so she ended up spinning her wheels. Rachel didn't understand why she was stuck. She didn't realize she was spending her time procrastinating. I taught her a technique called EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique, or tapping, and we worked on her procrastination. This technique helped her understand why she was sabotaging herself from reaching success. Rachel discovered she had a fear of success. As a child, she felt invisible and never received validation for her thoughts. She never learned how to feel successful, so she believed she didn't deserve success. Procrastination was keeping Rachel busy without allowing her to be productive with what she really needed to do. Procrastination was protecting Rachel from her fear of success, and that motivation was more important to her than getting things done. Now, Rachel began to see how this fear was showing up in her adult life and was affecting her relationships, her career, and even her ability to build a successful business. Tapping helped Rachel become more aware of her feelings and beliefs and how these feelings and beliefs dictated how she was spending her time. This technique helped Rachel let go of her fear of success. She started believing she deserved success, and she began to take action to build her business with confidence. Now, this story is just one of many I share in my book, Triple Your Time Today, on Amazon. And I share the story because we all procrastinate from time to time, and that's normal. But when procrastination gets in the way of your ability to be productive with your time, or it prevents you from moving forward in your career or your relationships or even your ability to make more money, well, then it's time to uncover the reasons why you procrastinate and clear them so you can get unstuck and get to where you want to be quickly and easily. Today, we're going to discuss why we get stuck, some of the reasons why we procrastinate, and we're also going to use the same tapping technique I taught Rachel. Now, don't worry. If you don't know what tapping is, we'll explain all that and how to use it as a productivity tool to overcome procrastination. I'm really excited to introduce my guest because Carol Look is one of my mentors. Carol is a leading success and abundance coach in the energy psychology field. Carol's recognized and respected around the globe for inspiring people to attract abundance into their lives using EFT, or the Emotional Freedom Technique, also known as tapping, to clear limiting beliefs away and build a mindset for prosperity. Carol is an expert at it. She trained as a licensed clinical social worker and earned her doctoral degree in clinical hypnotherapy. As an EFT master and pioneer, Carol has trained and mentored thousands of people all over the world, from coaches and business owners to Wall Street executives, to help them experience a transformative shift into a life of freedom and abundance. She's a highly sought-after international speaker and workshop leader. And Carol's offering a special package of free bonuses you can download, including an introduction to EFT and 10 tapping scripts for attracting abundance at attractingabundance.com/bonus. Carol's also produced quality training programs on the topics of weight loss, clearing clutter, trauma, and pain relief. You can find out more about Carol's work and her new program, Procrastination, Tapping Your Way from Self-Sabotage to Success, at tiny.cc/527ERW. Welcome to Time Management Radio, Carol.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great today, and I'm so delighted to have you. I've been listening to you for a long time. I'm a fan of yours. You're actually one of my mentors. And this is a really interesting topic because procrastination is something that plagues a lot of people, and they don't often know why they procrastinate. And one of the reasons why I'm interested in having you on today is because you can help me explain the reasons why people procrastinate. And you have a very special technique and tool that can help people get at that too. So the emotional freedom technique is your specialty. What is it? And let's talk about what that is and the science behind it and how it works in general, particularly as it relates to helping people overcome procrastination.
Sure. Well, it's a self-help tool that combines traditional ancient Chinese medicine, so the theories and the philosophy behind Chinese medicine, like acupuncture, and we combine it with modern psychology. So we don't use needles, but what we do is we tap on the same points that a traditional Chinese medicine doctor would put the needles for you for acupuncture. And what the philosophy and theory is, they believe that there are these circuits or pathways of energy that run through your body. And if you have symptoms, anxiety, stress, pain, cravings, a behavior like procrastination, anything like that, when you have symptoms, traditional Chinese medicine believes it's a signal that your energy is out of balance. Something has become gridlocked or caught or trapped. There's some kind of blockage in this circuitry, in these incredible pathways that carry energy. So what we do with the tapping is the same thing they would do with the needles. We tap on these points that are on the face and the body. We tap on these acupuncture points, and it clears out the congestion that you have in your electrical energetic system. You know, they talk about chi, life force is the chi, and it can get caught. It can get trapped. It can get blocked. That's really all, you know, if you're human, you have this energy system. So as long as we keep this chi and energy flowing, you're not going to have symptoms. But when you get hung up on an anxiety or stress or a worry or a fear, you start to, you know, play with the energy in your system, and other things can affect it as well.
Yeah,
Childhood trauma can affect it. And
so this process you use, this tapping process, actually it accomplishes a couple of things. It helps you, by tapping on these points, you're actually clearing out any blockage of the energy that might be trapped in those places. And that has and the effect of releasing this energy and helping you feel better.
Exactly. And what I say to people, it's like a computer. If you were going to, Catherine, send me a Word document, you'd have to pull it up first before you edit it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to pull
okay.
it up and edit it and then send it to me. Well, that's what we do when we're doing the tapping. We're also focused on the problem we want to clear. And I say it's like editing. Bring up the file. Bring up your anxiety, your stress, your fear, whatever it is. Bring it up, and then we're very focused there while we're doing the tapping, and that's how we edit, quote-unquote, the file. So if your file is about stress, your file is anxiety, your file is procrastination that comes from a fear of something, then we tap while we're in it. It's almost like you're in the energetic and emotional space of the problem while you do the tapping, and that's where we get the results.
So, but what if somebody What if somebody knows something about what their issue is, but they don't really know what the whole issue is? How do you help them talk about it if they don't know what that is?
Well, that's really the general process of the therapeutic piece, which is I would ask the person, you know, what's bothering you? Why now? What brings you to my office, or what brings you to, you know, to a practitioner now? What's going on? What's the malaise? What's getting in your way? And we slowly but surely unpack back to the symptom, and then more importantly, what's behind the symptom? What is the structure emotionally that might keep you avoiding your boss, that might keep you, you know, being late to a meeting, that might cause you to procrastinate? What's the bottom line? And the thing about the tapping that's so exciting, I've been doing tapping, Catherine, for 16 years, over
uh-huh.
16 years. And I say to people, I could not have be a more traditionally trained psychotherapist. I mean,
mm-hmm.
traditionally trained. And I'm still doing the tapping 16 years later because of the results I'm getting with people from all walks of life. Because we get to the bottom line. It's not about just clearing symptoms. We're getting to what's going on. We're getting to the root cause.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's been so successful and why it's stayed around for so long. It's actually been around since
the 80s or something, right?
The 80s.
Yeah.
Dr. Callahan started it in the 80s. So it continues to grow because of results.
Right, and the research that's being done about it now, too, is quite broad as well.
Well, the research is exciting for us because we've always been saying, oh, it works wonders for this. And, you know, I've done work with veterans and PTSD and businessmen with anxiety attacks, you know, as they're trying to manage the market and their job. And what's so exciting is that the research is now really talking about the brain and what happens in the amygdala and the stress relief responses. So basically when someone's in a stress reaction, you have that fight or flight response.
Right.
And when we're tapping, what some of the research is showing is that the tapping is actually soothing your brain and rewiring it while, remember I said you're bringing up the file. So if I tell someone to think about their fear of heights, they're panicked when they're thinking about it. We do the tapping and it rewires them and they start thinking about their fear of heights, or they walk over to the window and they say, it's not that bad. What did you just do?
And does that actually release a new, some kind of a chemical, is there a biochemical relationship, too, between tapping and this stress release?
Well, that's being debated, but I know it is because of the work I've done.
Yeah.
Right? So scientifically, I think it's being debated, and some people say absolutely, and some people say we haven't proven that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a relaxation effect that happens when we're tapping on the points.
Okay.
So that the chemistry that happens does also contribute to the brain chemistry and calming you down. Because when you think of something scary, you're on high alert. You know what
right.
that's like, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right, and my clients come, and again, it doesn't matter if they have a phobia, they're mad at their spouse, or they are afraid they're going to get fired. It doesn't matter what the issue is. You go into that mode. All humans have that fight or flight mode, and if you don't learn how to soothe it and calm yourself down, you'll actually be on that. The cortisol button will be, you know, pushed. The switch will be on 24/7, and that's how people get pretty deep chronic illnesses years later. So they may not get the illness till their 30s, 40s, or 50s, but it's because of this chronic cortisol pulsing through their body and not being able to turn off that response.
Yeah, interesting. So it has some effect on soothing the adrenaline or blocking adrenaline or blocking the cortisol, or we're not quite sure, but we will talk about the benefits because they're quite broad, and especially in areas of procrastination and fear of success and any kind of fear that comes up. And what you're basically saying, though, is it frees up a little bit of space in your brain to become more aware of what your issues might be. And that allows them to come up as well.
Well, when you're in fight or flight, what happens is your brain says, danger, danger, this
yeah.
is dangerous. And then you can't think, you can't go to any other channel.
Yeah.
So you can't convince someone who has a fear. I've done lots of fear of public speaking for business people. You cannot convince yourself that it's not scary. If that trigger goes off,
mm-hmm.
you're in it,
mm-hmm.
right? So it really is powerful to help tone down that racing thoughts, the adrenaline, the sort of the hyper arousal that happens in that response. So then you can start to think clearly, and then you look at the audience and say, well, they're not that scary. I mean, what happens is both in the brain, in the body, in the mind, and then the talking to yourself can start to be rational again. But no one's rational, myself. We're not rational when we're afraid. We know that. We know that. And again, it doesn't matter if you see a shadow or there's a real, you know, a real fear happening. So it's quite exciting because, as I say, the evolution for me, I started just, you know, with any clients who would be willing to do it. So they'd come in and say, I want to quit smoking. And they'd come in and say, you know, I have this anxiety attacks. And I'd say, let me just try this new stress relief technique I learned. So this is 16 years ago. And they'd come back and say, what did you do? What was that weird thing? It was before I started explaining it. I didn't think it was useful to explain it. So I would just do 5 minutes with them. And then over the years, as I say, I've done everything from the success and abundance issues I do with business people all around the world. And, you know, I did post-traumatic stress with veterans. And to watch a veteran who suffered for 50 years, to watch them calm down and no longer be in that state really tells you something. And the pain relief, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I'm a psychotherapist. And if people are willing to look at the connection between pain and emotional conflict,
right,
that it has some bearing on each other, then I say, well, then good, I've got someone sitting in my chair. But, you know, I can't treat it as a medical doctor, but the results have been shocking. I mean, shocking to me still 16 years later. So it's quite exciting.
Talk about that a little bit, some of the results that you've seen.
In pain or just everything?
I would want to say pain and stress release in time management issues. I mean, you've worked with people on Wall Street. You know, you've seen it all. As it relates to business people, for instance, how can it help people? Why is it so effective?
I have seen it all, and in a long term practice, you do. Well, one of the things, for instance, is people come in with anxiety and stress, and what has happened is that over the years they've built it up. So I get businessmen coming in with sudden panic attacks, or suddenly they are claustrophobic and can't fly, and the next one suddenly they can't speak at a meeting, and they're scared and they can't tell their boss and they can't tell anyone. And so what I've helped them do is in my office calm them down so much with a technique so that they no longer are afraid. You know how when someone has an anxiety attack, the next fear is of the next attack?
Yeah.
And it's not rational. So I've helped people just incredibly with it. The basic anxiety and stress and time management and self-care. Mm-hmm. So I talk to people, and I work with a ton of coaches with mentoring, where I say, if you're not taking care of yourself, I don't want to hear your case studies about your clients. What are you doing for yourself? So I come at it from that angle. What did you do for yourself today? Are you doing your tapping every day? Because, you know, apparently our lives are not going to slow down, Catherine.
I don't think
we're not
so.
Going to have less devices and, you know, less. Everyone's got their iPhone in one hand, their BlackBerry in the other, and a regular telephone, their computer in the other. So apparently that's not slowing down. So we have got to manage it and manage our output and input of energy. And so anxiety, fear of public speaking, it's a wonderful technique for that. Done it for craving, so for both weight loss and quit smoking, has been wonderful. Used it for, as I say, success issues. So why would someone sabotage themselves? Mm. People come in and say, oh, I want to be successful. And I say, really? You know, then what's going on? And they keep talking about their sabotage. And so that's a lot of fun, and that procrastination falls into those areas.
Yeah, so why... You know, why do people procrastinate? I mean, people will come to you and they'll say, I'm having this panic attack and I don't know why. And then you introduce this technique to them and it helps them figure out why they're having this panic attack, for instance. Or talk a little bit about why people procrastinate and how EFT can help with that.
Well, I have found over the years, and I was my first guinea pig because I was a terrible procrastinator and I couldn't understand it. I was really baffled by it. Like, I knew what to do. I knew what the next report was that I needed to write.
Okay.
I started out in business and I didn't understand what was going on. And I've put it into four categories to make it easy for me and for other people. The first reason people procrastinate is honestly the project's not ready yet. You don't have all the pieces, it's not ready, and you're trying to force it, and you don't feel inspired, and it's almost legitimate. almost, right? Your
boss
tells you to do something and you don't have all the pieces, it's almost legitimate. The second type is the probably the most prevalent for people, fear of failure. So, you know, the college student I worked with, why wouldn't you finish the term paper? Why aren't you finishing? You know, what's the fear? Well, basically, if she doesn't finish it, she can't get an F. So she preferred an incomplete to an F. And that's what people do in most of their projects. A college student is a good example. But business people do that. If they don't complete the report, if they don't do the research, if they don't do their analysis that's due for the Monday morning meeting, guess what? They can't get some kind of negative grade or be judged or criticized. So, and perfectionism actually falls into that category, the second category, fear of failure. So that's a big reason people do it. And it's not so conscious. They just get mad at themselves for procrastinating, and that's what I help people with too. Stop beating up on yourself. Procrastination is solving a problem. And they say, what? No, it's a terrible thing to do. No, it's not. It's solving a problem. Your procrastination is doing something for you or you wouldn't do it. Same with someone overeating chocolate and chips, and same with someone who's having anxiety attacks. It's protecting you on some level. Right. So
yeah.
When you figure out the reason and what your procrastination is solving, then you can go to work on it. But it's at this different level. So the second type was fear of failure. The third type is fear of success. So someone says, well, I don't want to launch my book and launch my program and do this and do that because it could be really successful. And I say, yes. And what's the downside to that? And they say, everything's going to change. I don't want to rock the boat. So while the fear of failure is a huge one, and you know it has to be perfect, someone's going to criticize me, what if I don't do well, the fear of success is a big one too. You know, I don't want to shine. People say to me, I don't want to shine. I like things the way they are. Can't I just stay under the radar? And they know they have a brilliant idea. You know, they might be, you know, asked to be partner. You know, maybe their siblings aren't as successful. All sorts of reasons why we don't want to shine.
And there could be also a reason why people don't want to start a project as well as finish a project.
Yes.
That's another form of procrastination too, isn't it?
And for the same reasons, though.
Yeah.
So they don't want to start it because fear of failure, fear of success. And then the fourth reason or the fourth type of people that procrastinate is people who are trying to rebel. And it's really, it's sort of a childish way to rebel. You know, it's saying I'm going to take my control back. But you know what? We have all been controlled within an inch of our lives. And if this is how our rebellion comes out, as long as we can look at it and change it. I mean, I had a client say to me, who does my boss think he is? He's giving me all these orders. I said, well, your boss thinks he's your boss. You know, and I swear he could not make the connection until I asked a few more questions between the rebellion. And, of course, it's his father and his mother and being told what to do. And,
right.
But those people end up quitting jobs because they hate the boss, the authority figure. And they go out and work on their own, and then they're still procrastinating. And they say, ooh, maybe it wasn't him.
Or now I hate myself because I'm the boss.
Exactly. So rebellion is the fourth one, and you would not believe how people respond to that one. Ooh, Carol, that sounds like, ooh, I think I am trying to take a little power back or trying to just get themselves back in an empowered feeling and situation. And you can actually rebel. So here's an example of how. What does it solve? Well, it solves this feeling for you that you don't feel empowered. You could feel disempowered in a marriage and go rebel at work. That happens with us. We know that psychologically. You could feel disempowered at work and go home and procrastinate on every single home project you're supposed to do, that your family's supposed to do. So it's if we could keep in mind, how is this serving us? Why is procrastination actually a good thing for my mind? It's not a good thing overall in work. We know that. But what's it doing for me? What's the upside of procrastinating? And that's when people's brains start to go, oh, thank you very much. You know, the person's in business school and they can't get the project done and the other person's at a job and the other person's, you know, wants to start their website and get their business cards done. It doesn't matter what you're procrastinating on. The answer is the same. Go find out what it solves for you. And then you can work on it. Because you know what people do with procrastination? They just try to muscle it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'm gonna put it off until tomorrow, and then I'm starting. Well, why would they start then? There's no reason to, and if they do, it doesn't last long because that fear of failure, fear of success, or the rebellion, those are so much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
If we think we're keeping ourselves safe by not producing the research report for our boss and colleagues to read? Are you kidding? That wins safety. Protecting ourselves wins every time.
So this process actually somehow helps mitigate that habit of procrastination, right? It's a way of explaining to your brain that, in fact, it isn't keeping you safe. There's also some downside that's more that's greater than the upside, for instance, that people will figure out they're getting from this.
Well, now we can address the fear. So in tapping, you need a target. So some people say, well, you know, I don't know what to work on. How do you know? You choose a target. You choose a very, very clear target. I have this aching, throbbing pain in my knee. I have a migraine. Or you say, I'm afraid of success. I'm afraid of this. My fear of public speaking, my fear of, you're very, very specific. So now that we find out what's the upside of procrastinating? Why are you not getting the project done? And the person answers, I didn't look at it that way, but you're right. I am so afraid of getting more criticism because of what happened last time. Or, you know, they have some reason. Now that we know it's a fear, then the fear becomes the target for the tapping. So we're targeting procrastination, but we're not. We're targeting the reasons, the real reasons, the core reasons you're procrastinating. And that's why the behavior then collapses. Right, it's like when people do symptom reduction. We don't want to just do symptom reduction, because then you're going to pop a symptom someplace else in your body if you don't deal with what the symptom means. What does procrastination mean? It means you're afraid of the end result for some reason. You're afraid of, let's say, if it's fear of success, you don't want to rock the boat with your colleagues, or you're afraid of failure, you don't want the criticism. And once we target that, then the behavior has to collapse. You've taken the support out from under it, and that's what's so exciting for people is they've always looked at it from, I've got to stop. You know, I'm a bad person for procrastinating. I must be lazy. That's not the point of intervention. We need to intervene at the fear level, at the how does this behavior solve something for you? What's it doing for you? What's the upside? What does it do for you? Oh, nothing. Yes, it does. If you sit down and ask yourself the questions, what's the upside of your procrastination? What's the downside of getting your business, your website started? You know, I had worked with all these coaches and therapists, and one of them said to me, well, if I get my website out there and nobody comes, then what does that mean? And that's all we had to deal with. You know, so yes, the behavior was procrastination, but it was all about self-worth and all about who's going to notice me and who's going to want my services.
I'm talking with Carol Look, Master Trainer and Teacher of the Emotional Freedom Technique, or EFT, and we're discussing how to overcome procrastination using EFT. Fascinating subject. Carol, can you share some of the success stories of clients, business clients in particular, who've used EFT to overcome procrastination? I would like to know particularly how this has helped people in your field and in the business field.
Well, here's an example. A woman who, she was afraid to rock the boat. It's funny, I didn't know her very well, and I thought she had the fear of failure because we hadn't talked about it much yet. Mm-hmm. And she was afraid to rock the boat, and we went back to where that would come from. Why is rocking the boat an issue? She's the youngest of five girls.
Okay.
And it was all about the success issues, and what are they going to say when she skyrockets her success and is no longer the baby of the family emotionally and professionally.
Right.
So we were tapping on her fear. I want to stay invisible. Could I please stay under the radar? Oh, that's why I didn't get my website going and my sales pages run. And at the end of the session, she was saying, rock away. I am so ready for this. And it was just so cute because she wouldn't have known to go there. And I didn't know to go there except I asked her the questions. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the upside of your not getting it done? Ooh, she says, I get to stay hidden. What's the downside of getting it done, right? There was another person who, the rebellion, he just said, you have my number. I'm like, you know, he said, I thought I was number two. I thought I was the fear of failure, but I'm also number four. You know what? When I started out, Catherine, I was all four types.
You were.
I was all four, little bit of everything in there. So, and that's okay for people to have that. But again, what do you get to? You go to the bottom line. So he went to this rebellion thing, and it was kind of complicated, his rebellion, because you know, the typical always rebelling against the authority figure, it was just his father. It was actually quite a long history, but with tapping, you don't have to tap on every single problem and every single issue. We just tapped on his resentment. Resentment was huge. When people are rebelling and they're procrastinating, it's often about resentment and anger. And I know that from the years of doing this, so I just went to the resentment, and he said, how did you know? Well, because you look and you sound resentful. Your behavior is resentful. Your behavior is passive-aggressive. So lots of stories like that when people say, well, this, you know, I've been fighting with myself for 10 years about procrastination and thinking that criticizing myself would be the answer, and it's not. That if that's what people get out of the work I'm doing with them, brilliant. That's what it is. You're not a bad person. You are not lazy. You have a better reason that's more appealing to you, which is the solving the problem. It's doing something for you. It's protecting you. It's giving your power back. So you've made it into something that you think is good for you.
I had a client one time who was, she grew up in a family where she was judged and criticized a lot. As a child, and that carried over into her personal life, even though she was successful. And I used EFT with her. It was amazing how that process brought up all kinds of realizations and awareness about how her childhood was being carried into her adult life, how all those thoughts and fears she was actually reliving now as an adult. And I'm not a trained psychotherapist or psychologist, but the process itself was so helpful to her that she was able to overcome that. And it had an amazing effect on her stress, on her physical health, on her self-confidence.
Yes, these
she
tapes
was able to
play,
break those things open.
That's exciting. These tapes play over and over again. So the criticism, when I work with fear of public speaking, you know, these people have to speak to huge crowds. Every single time, I'm telling you, they go back to grade school.
Yeah.
They gave a speech in fifth grade, and someone laughed at them. It's just amazing. And these are professional people with long-term jobs, and they've gotten this far, and then suddenly the stress is too high, and it spills out at a public speaking event or something like that. And it's just, it is about our childhood, because that's where we learn. So we learn what's safe. We learn what's okay. We learn that if we come out and our voice is heard, we'll be criticized. That's where we learn stuff. So procrastination, we may have, again, a brilliant idea. So maybe if you work for someone, you're just supposed to complete a project on the job. If you're an entrepreneur, you have a great idea for your field, and you just have that hesitation, right, because you're afraid of the criticism. And in the same way, Catherine, that people say to me, well, how do I know I'm sabotaging in financial and success and abundance, the primary work I do? And then I say, look at the results in your life. And I say, ooh, good point. Right. Mm-hmm. People say, well, how do I know I'm really a procrastinator? Take a look at, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, good point. They're not completing. Here it is, the end of the week again. Here we are in a new year again. And some they just haven't gotten around to it. Even though they might say to their counselor or their friend, their coworker, they might say that's a priority. When you have a priority and you keep skipping it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and if you're not as successful as you want to be, you've done everything you think you've done to be successful, but you're still not there, there's something that's stopping you from being everything you want to be.
And that's usually the fear, the inner consciousness, you know, I don't deserve that, I'm not good enough. When I work with people with financial issues, you know, I say to them, if you believe you're a $50,000 a year earner, you will be, continuously. If you believe you can earn $100,000, that's great, you'll get it. And then at $125,000, you'll sabotage. Mm. Because you can't, it's really about emotional tolerance. If you can't tolerate what you perceive as a risk, right? So if $100,000 is too high for you in your emotional stance, and I know this is new for some people and not new for others, if you can't tolerate that, you will move heaven and earth to sabotage. It's
so
really the
way
people's
bank accounts always go to a certain level.
Yes, they have a comfort zone.
Yeah.
They're good at this amount, but you know, and I've worked with sports people, so golf. Mm-hmm. Someone does beautifully on the front nine, and then, oh, the wheels fall off in the back nine. And I say, what happened? Oh, it was the weather and the noise. No, it wasn't. It was because you couldn't tolerate doing that well. You'd never done that well before. So we match where we feel comfortable, and if that is at a dollar amount or if that is at being pretty successful, B minus, you know, if that's where you feel comfortable and you feel good, you'll stay there. You will consistently behave in ways to stay there, not dip too far below and not go above too much. Finances, relationships, body weight, health issues, overall success in your life.
Interesting. Wow. So it's this thing, this process, this tool, this technique kind of busts it all open, doesn't it? The first step is really awareness. Then to create an awareness of where you are and why you're comfortable being where you are, if, in fact, you want to be someplace else, and understanding what the benefit is to staying where you are, and then what you think you're going to lose
right.
by moving that thermostat to a yes. different degree.
That's why I like, Mike, the questions of what's the downside, what's the upside. So let's take something that everyone has known someone or they've been it themselves. You know, what's the downside of losing the weight? Or what's the downside of stopping me overeating, overdrinking, oversmoking? And the person looks at me and says, because then I'd have to feel right. Mm. When you're not smoking, when you're not eating, when you're not drinking, when you're not workaholism-ing, you have to feel stuff. You have to deal with discomfort and challenge, and it's really, really important to be able to tolerate, again, we're back to that word, tolerate your emotions and the conflicts rather than just pushing, and again, workaholism really goes in that category.
Oh,
you know,
really
it's kind of looked as it legitimate, but it does the same as all the other addictions. It hurts your family, it hurts you, it keeps you from being connected to your core and your best self and your ability to be productive. It, you know, people think it's productive, but it's not at all.
So it's really these issues we have are really numbing us to stop us from feeling.
Yes.
Yeah, when in fact that's what we really should be doing, because by feeling, it gets us to where we want to be, which is our best self.
Yes. So if someone is afraid of criticism and they're not totally conscious of that, they'll procrastinate. And they won't say to you, oh, Catherine, well, I'm a little afraid of being criticized. They'll just say, can you believe I still haven't done that report my boss asked for? It's due tomorrow. I'm going to pull an all-nighter. I mean, we're all a little old to be pulling all-nighters now, right? That was a college thing. And if they're not conscious of it, they'll just do the behavior. And I'm not talking about material that is really unconscious. I'm just talking about sitting down, writing some answers, talking to someone and saying, why is this seems absurd that I've avoided the project for 7 days. What's going on? Just asking yourself, well, what would be the downside of completing it? And just that simple question. How is it serving you? What is it doing for you that's positive in any way? And sometimes people will say, oh, don't be silly. There's nothing positive about my procrastination. Yes, there is, or else you would have done the project neatly, completely, efficiently, and brilliantly, and it would have been done already.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly useful, and sometimes people skip this step. They don't realize the questions, how does it serve you, what's the upside, the downside, how much data you can get from those questions. Then you can treat it. What people continuously do is they try to treat the procrastination without treating what's really going on, which is the feeling, which is what I said earlier, someone treating a symptom, and sure enough, it's going to come back, or another one will come back because they haven't treated the structure of the body. They haven't treated what's really going on.
Mm. And right? That's, Carol, that's why they call it the emotional freedom technique,
yeah.
isn't it? It
yes.
allows the freedom. It allows you the freedom to really understand what the emotion is behind that fear
yes.
of procrastination or whatever is causing you not to do what you want to do.
There's probably not a single conflict emotionally or problem that we haven't tried it on. I may not have in my practice, but my colleagues, it's just incredible the different things we've worked on, you know, because some people say, oh, well, you couldn't. One of the criticisms is, well, you can't work on anxiety issues and pain control and quit smoking or weight loss issues with the same technique. That doesn't make sense. Somehow we've been trained this pill is, you know, Prozac is for depression,
yeah.
the other pill is for something else. Well, the reason we can address such a wide variety of challenges is because we're getting to the core.
Yeah.
The core is our electricity and energy. We know, we go get an EKG or an ECG, that tells us we have electricity in our body. If we don't get any readouts on the EKG, we're in trouble. All humans have an electrical energetic system, and when it's ill, when it's sick, the symptoms explode.
Yeah.
We need, so the health, so the acupuncture system, the tapping system, goes to try to strengthen and stabilize the health of that energy. Think of it like your oxygen or blood pumping through you healthily and everywhere and through all the arteries and through your entire body. Same thing with energy, the electricity. If it's not getting to all your organs, you will have, you know, decreased health. Your health won't be as good. So whether it's emotional or physical.
Yeah, and it's like a blocked nerve. I mean, people can understand that if they have a sciatic issue or some nerve issue that's blocked. I think people can figure out that, well, that has to be unblocked for the full motion of that particular part of your body. So
Yes. That's
interesting. Let's describe the setup process for me, Carol. I'd like you to take me through the process, but I want you to describe it first so that I get a good sense of how this really works.
Good. Well, everyone listening, keep it simple, keep it simple. Please, it is not complicated. I'm sure it sounds odd to those of you who are brand new to it. The simple part, Catherine, is to choose a target. And you want your target to be an emotion, resentment, fear, hurt, loneliness, an emotion, a belief, I'm not good enough, it'll never happen for me,
mm-hmm.
or a memory of an event that's upsetting to you. So you might say, well, the time that person hit me, you know, or the time my boss yelled at me in front of others.
Mm-hmm.
That's a memory of an event, and that brings up the file. So this is where most people go wrong with tapping, is they do not get clear enough on their target to begin with. So then they're tapping, and it's a little bit too vague, and they're tapping. I say, what have you been tapping on? They, it's not working. What are you tapping on? They say, my low self-esteem. Low self-esteem, that's huge. How do you know? How do you know you have it? Who said what to you? When did they say it? What do you feel when you walk into a room? We've got to narrow it down to the feeling. So that's the first target. So are you're going to be my echo? We'll do a procrastination?
I am.
Okay. Why don't we do the fear of failure since it's so big?
Okay.
It's almost universal, not quite. So what I would say to the person is we've chosen a target, fear of failure. Does that seem like something you could work on? And the person says, yes, that's me. And I say, okay, picture finishing the project and delivering it to your boss, what happens? And they go, whoa. And I say, measure it, 0 to 10. 10 is the highest amount of fear. And they say, I cannot believe this. You know, it's a Monday, and you're asking me to do this in your office. I haven't even done the project, and I'm at a 7 or an 8. It's a very important process to measure it so you know the level of fear, you know the level of emotion where you are now,
mm-hmm.
and then we do the tapping, and then we remeasure.
Okay.
So the setup is getting a clear target and saying, how bad is it, 0 to 10?
So that would be the same thing as picking a goal, for instance, wouldn't
yes.
it? My goal
yes.
is to be able to not procrastinate anymore or to not feel as though I'm not ready, or I should say it a better way, to feel as though I'm ready to do the thing that I need to do to get to where I want to be.
Right, but those wouldn't be good targets, though.
Okay.
Right? Because those are too broad or they're too negative. You know, you've got to go, and so why aren't you? So if your goal is to feel really ready, why aren't you? Because I'm afraid, and I remember last time I lost confidence when I walked into the business meeting. Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
Then
so
we
you
would
need to
target
be
that.
Mm-hmm. Really give a specific fear of why you might be afraid of that.
Yes, because the goal is more, here's where I want to go. Okay,
yeah.
Let's unpack it. How come you're not there yet? Right? So the fear, the lack of confidence, the worry that someone's going to be critical, the worry that your coworker will say, that's not any good, whatever's going on. So
Okay. Choose
a target. Let's stick with emotions, the easiest thing to do. Now, for pain control, people would say my aching migraine. Oh, we have done work on medical issues like migraines that is jaw-dropping. So you choose your emotion. So in this case, I'll have you just say it out loud, and people listening can work on this as well. I'm afraid of failure.
I'm afraid of failure.
And then we would get more specific, like, are you afraid of your boss, your spouse? Who? And you might picture, yep, yeah, it's my boss. Mm-hmm. I picture the boss saying something, I'm afraid of failure. And then you measure how high is the fear, 0 to 10.
Okay, so let's just say it's an 8.
Right. Then the first step we do is we tap on a very important acupuncture point. It's called the karate chop point, and if you've ever seen a karate master on television chop a block in half, it's that place on his hand, right? So we have one on our left hand and our right hand, the karate chop area. My little nephew, when he was taking karate, he'd come up and try to give me a chop, right? So it's below the bottom of your pinky and above your wrist, that fleshy outside part of your hand.
Uh-huh.
And you tap there. Now, I'm right-handed, so I take the fingers of my right hand and I tap on the fleshy part of my left hand.
And
I tap
these are like the middle three fingers that you tap, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, some people take both karate chop points and tap them against each other. It's not right or wrong. You want to make contact with the points.
Okay.
Remember that. We're tuning into the problem while we're making contact with the points, and that has the effect of moving everything through. Okay? So what we do when we're tapping on this karate chop point is we want to call up the file. So we want to say the truth is, and this is the part of tapping that's been around since the 80s that hasn't been changed much because it is so profound. It's a statement of affirmation. So we say, even though I'm afraid I might fail, or even though I have this fear of failure, comma, I deeply and profoundly accept myself anyway. And people say, oh, that sounds corny. You know what? It may be corny. Then change it around a little bit. Kick it around to, you know, I feel respect for myself anyway, or I'm okay with who I am right now with this conflict. The point is you immediately reduce resistance.
Because you say it out loud.
Well, you reduce emotional resistance because you say, no matter where I am, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I've had these business guys say, oh, I'm not repeating that. And I say, yes, you are. We're just going to have you repeat it a couple of times while we're tapping because, again, our culture, our society, who we are, how we've been raised is, I can't be that, I'm not that, I've got to be strong. It's not okay to admit our issues. This process, the first step to reduce psychological and energetic resistance is to say, and I'm okay anyway. So I'll do it a few times with you.
Okay.
So tap on the karate chop point. We're just going to say the truth. Okay. Even though I have this fear of failure.
Even though I have this fear of failure.
And it makes me procrastinate.
And it makes me procrastinate.
I deeply and profoundly accept myself anyway.
I deeply and profoundly accept myself anyway.
Again, and we're still tapping on the karate chop point. Even though I'm afraid of failure.
Even though I'm afraid of failure.
No wonder I won't finish that project.
No wonder I won't finish that project.
I deeply and profoundly accept who I am.
I deeply and profoundly accept who I am.
And a third one, even though I have this fear of failure.
Even though I have this fear of failure.
And I've had it for a long time.
And I've had it for a long time.
I deeply and completely accept all of me.
I deeply and completely accept all of me.
Good. So that's the setup. People say, do you have to do it three times, twice? Don't skip this part. Some people who've been doing tapping for just a short period of time, they think they should skip that to make it shorter. The process is so short anyway. Don't skip a step that would reduce emotional and psychological resistance.
Mm.
We want to set the system up to be able to take the treatment. So we just, and there's nothing negative or wrong with saying I deeply and completely accept myself. Again, some people will say, well, I don't accept myself. And I say, well, what could you say?
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay that I have this challenge. I know, you know, I accept that I have a challenge rather than accept themselves. That's okay. Change the language a little bit.
Yeah. I'm
but
okay
keep
just
it simple.
The way I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then we tap on a very simple sequence of points on the face and the body while we are acknowledging our problem. So let's keep it as simple as possible. To acknowledge our problem would simply mean we would say out loud, I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. So that's what we repeat to ourselves, and then we tap on this series of points. So the first point is above the eyebrow, or right, it's right at the beginning, above your nose, I mean, the beginning of either eyebrow, the hair of either eyebrow. So you could do right or left, just at the beginning.
To the corner of the eyebrow.
Above your nose on the inside.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you
yeah.
just tap right there. And really lightly, I'm tapping with two fingers, tap, 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 like that. Mm-hmm. And you just say the problem. And this is the transformative process. You're bringing up the file and editing it with a tapping. So tap there and say, I'm afraid of failure.
I'm afraid of failure.
The next point is on the outside corner of your eye. Again, you have one on the right and the left. Doesn't matter which one you do. I'm afraid of failure.
I'm afraid of failure.
The third point is under the eye. It's right. It's called the bony orbit, right under your eye, above your cheek. It's not your cheek. It's on the bone. I have this fear of failure.
I have this fear of failure.
And the next point is under your nose, on your upper lip. I have this fear of failure.
I have this fear of failure.
The next point is, we call it the chin point. It's actually above your chin and below your lower lip, right in the crease there.
Yeah.
I have this fear of failure.
I have this fear of failure.
No wonder I procrastinate.
No wonder I procrastinate.
The next point is called the collarbone point. You trace your collarbones down to those funny little knobs, and it's right below there, about an inch below. What I would recommend to make it easy, since they can't see me, put your hand in an outstretched palm and just tap over that entire area where the knot of a man's tie would be.
Hmm.
Makes it the simplest. Just tap, and then I promise you, you're getting both sides of this collarbone point. And we say it again, I have this fear of failure.
I have this fear of failure.
No wonder I'm stuck.
No wonder I'm stuck.
The next point, either left side or right side, it's below your armpit, about 4 inches in your ribs. So as if you had a seam coming up and down both sides of your body. I usually do just one side, and you tap there. Ooh, a little tender today for me. Tap there and just say, this fear of failure.
This fear of failure.
Making me procrastinate.
Making me procrastinate.
And then we end with a very important acupuncture point that's on the top of the head. And we just tap around in a little circle on the top of your head. And say, it's called the meeting place of 100 points, called Bahui in Chinese medicine. So just tap around there and say, I have this fear of failure.
I have this fear of failure.
So we acknowledge the truth. We're not running from it. We say we're okay, and we're accessing the electrical energetic system while we're doing it. Then the directions are, you take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to your target. Don't switch targets. Go back to the same target. I have this fear of failure. You know, you were thinking of your boss reading your program or whatever it was. And then you measure it again. And this is where people say, oh, that's really weird. What just happened? I'm not in the same place. Like, what just happened? I don't feel as afraid. So some people go, let's say they start at an 8 of fear and they drop to a 6 and a 4. Other people go from an 8 to a 0 like that. Other people inch down. There's no way to determine how you're going to drop the numbers. If the numbers aren't dropping at all, if you're still as afraid, you haven't gotten clear enough. You're not focused on it. You're a little distant from it.
Your target's not clear enough, then.
Not clear enough. You're kind of, this fear of failure, and it's sort of, you know, you're a little detached in this way emotionally. We want to be in it.
Mm.
We want to be in it. So whether it's fear of public speaking, and here's an example with public speaking that's very important. People say, well, I'm so afraid, you know, I get up there and the lights are on and I look at everybody and I'm freaked out, as I work with actors and actresses do. So we tap on that, and suddenly that doesn't bother them anymore. They can't believe it, and they're all excited. But they come back and say, but I was really nervous when they announced my name, and I had to walk up to the stage. That's another aspect of fear of public speaking, but don't come back and say it didn't work, because the other part was fine. It was just they didn't address that particular angle.
Okay, so that may be your new target to tap on.
Yes, exactly. So with something like fear of flying, you know, you have taking off, you have turbulence, you have landing, you have all sorts of issues there.
Mm-hmm.
With procrastination, it usually is, I'm afraid of their criticism. I imagine them, you know, judging me in front of other people, or it has to be perfect, and that's why I'm stuck, because it can never be perfect. But it doesn't usually spread to 6 or 7 issues the way some of those other fears do.
Mm-hmm. Lack of self-confidence, whatever.
Yeah. And then people say, well, how will I know if it's working? Because you will be excited to work on the project. It's so funny.
Mm.
You will not recognize your behavior, but you also may not be too conscious of it. You'll just do the project. And you'll say, well, that's weird. You will not be so consciously as well as unconsciously focused on the fear. And you start to do it. Same way with the rebellion. Suddenly rebelling against your boss or your spouse or yourself, if you're an entrepreneur, suddenly the rebellion doesn't have so much juice anymore. It's not that appealing.
it sort of calms it down.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's interesting is that it starts to reveal other things that come up. So for some people that I've worked with, their initial target is X.
Yes.
And then that calms down, mm-hmm. but then something else comes up and they realize what was really at the core of that was not X, but it was Y.
Isn't that fun?
I
love that because people are very open. It's like the success issues, and they come to my workshops and they say, you know, I have this success issue, but I really want success. And by the time I've asked a couple of questions, they say, well, that's not what I thought the problem was,
mm-hmm.
but it's freeing. Because now they have something to work with. This is why, one of the many reasons, besides the fact that I get such outrageous results, that I've stuck with this process.
Mm.
I've had to, you know, deal with people saying it looks funny, it's strange, how do you know, prove it. You know what? When I stopped fighting against that and just dealt with the results, I was thrilled.
It does look a little funny to be tapping on these, you know, different points of your face, for instance. And because I do it a lot, even if I'm in the car,
yes.
I might just be at a stoplight. I might be just tapping on my the collarbone point because that's connected to all of the nerve endings around your heart. And if you have issues of self-confidence or fear of failure, that's a big tapping point to open up. And so I think it's a great idea to do that process completely. But
mm-hmm.
if you're in a place where you can't do the whole thing, you're riding on a subway or something, you can always just tap your karate chop point, or you can just tap your heart, or you even just put your hand over your heart and imagine you're tapping.
Right.
And that has an equally powerful effect on clearing some of your emotions around specific targets.
And some people say to me, well, Carol, you know, procrastination is a problem, it's not the problem, or you know, other issues, success issues, and I'm not sure what to do. What would be the best place to start? Some people will say, I've got 8 issues, where do I start?
Yeah.
Where I recommend you starting is on stress, and stress.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you tap on, even though that coworker barked at me about the even though, you know, I mean, you know, all our executive friends have got kids in schools, and, you know, a lot's going on these days. We have family issues, life cycle issues. We have, you know, stress at work. We have the economy. We have so much happening. If you gave yourself the time at the end of the day and spent 10 to 15 minutes tapping on what has agitated you, you're going to change dramatically. The first thing I cleared on myself, I forgot to tell you, Catherine, was insomnia.
Oh, really?
16 years ago, I was a horrible insomniac, and it was all anxiety. I was in my first job after grad school. No, I was, I can't remember. Well, I know where I was, what the agency I was at, and I just had this terrible insomnia, worry, anxiety, what's going to happen, this client is, I worked in addictions, and, you know, this client's going to relapse, this, and I have, it was actually a long-term problem, I had it before then, and I tapped on myself for anxiety. I didn't target insomnia, that would be one of those targets that's too big.
Okay.
But I targeted, without knowing it, I was working on my clients, working on myself, on anxiety, and my long-term insomnia went away, and I have not had a problem with insomnia for 16 years.
And how long did it take you to overcome that then?
I'm not sure, because I woke up one day and said, now that's weird.
Huh.
That's strange. I don't think I think I slept last night. I mean, I wasn't tracking it.
Mm.
So, not very, if you get to the core issue, it doesn't take very long. So I had to get to self-confidence issues, anxiety issues. Again, I wasn't targeting it. That was the shocker for me.
Huh.
And that's what happens. People will say, well, I've been working on my procrastination, but isn't that weird? Did you know that also I'm sleeping better, I'm eating better, I'm more tolerant with my teenager? You know, this is what happens is people say they're calmer overall.
Well, that's one of the other things I think we should talk about briefly, which is once you clear this core issue, everything else improves in your life. I mean, your life seems brighter and better. Your relationships improve. Your business improves. Your money issues go away. I mean, this is like the unfolding of a flower. It's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm still doing it. That's why this many years later, I'm still tapping on myself at workshop. That's the work I do now.
Yeah. Yeah, I use it myself. I find it to be really interesting on my own issues, and then I use it with clients too, and it's one of the tools I use, which is really helpful.
Yes.
Because it gets at, I think it's because the combination of the physical, the kinesthetic, with the speaking, has this combination of, you know, saying it out loud.
Yes.
Where other modalities don't, you know, meditation is wonderful, but you're not mm-hmm. saying it out loud. You're not mm-hmm. you're not addressing it to yourself. You're not saying, I deeply and profoundly accept myself, and then you realize, oh no, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't feel comfortable saying that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I must have an issue with that. Why can't I say that I accept myself? What's going on here? And it starts to unravel all those things that are bundled up, which
yeah.
are preventing you from figuring out what the real issue is,
yeah.
which I find is interesting because
yeah.
your subconscious mind wants to protect you, so it's going to put all of these roadblocks in your way
yeah.
to get to that core issue.
I recommend people play with it, experiment with it, and when in doubt, people say, what do I say? You
mm-hmm.
focus on a target.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Upset, hurt, resentment, frustration, exasperate. Yes. That's how you get started, and you will have results.
At least once a day, but I think you're
mm-hmm.
saying possibly even twice a day,
yes.
maybe morning and evening.
Sure, if you could, 5 to 10 minutes, if you could.
Or whenever, and
yes.
prior to maybe having mm-hmm. that anxiety attack, so that when you have the anxiety attack, you have a tool that you can
yes.
use to calm yourself
yes.
down. Huh. Great, Carol, thank you so much for spending time with me on Time Management Radio. This has been fascinating. Love to have you back, and have really enjoyed your insights and this fascinating process. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine. It was a pleasure.
We all want more time to do things that are important to us, like getting enough rest, engaging in hobbies, and staying fit. While we know we should take the time to go to the gym or get that big project done, very often something else takes priority, and we put those important things off. We procrastinate. Why do we do this? Why do we procrastinate on activities that will help us accomplish our goals? Well, awareness is the first step towards making any change in a habit or behavior. If you know why you're hesitating or procrastinating, you can start to address some potential solutions. If you're still not reaching your goals because you've developed non-supportive habits causing you to procrastinate, then the next step is to find out the motivation to change. If you're not fully committed to making a change in your life, you're going to stay stuck right where you are. Remember, people are only motivated to change for two reasons, to seek pleasure or avoid pain. Are you procrastinating because you get some benefit from it, or are you procrastinating to avoid fear or failure? If you know what motivates you and you apply that to the way you approach your goals, you'll begin to put an end to your procrastination. The next time you find yourself procrastinating, try these 9 productivity shortcuts instead. Pick a clear, reasonable goal you want to accomplish and a few steps for how you might get there. Break your goal down into manageable-sized activities, which you put into a calendar so you can accomplish some of it every day. Select one single task and start on it immediately. Select a small part of a big job and do only that one to get started. Set a time limit for the project. Work on a major task for, let's say, 30 minutes each day until it's done. Set up a reward structure for completing each part of a job. Create a deadline and promise others you'll complete a task by a certain time. You know, the social pressure of not wanting to let others down is a big motivator for some people. Or imagine you have another project coming, looming in the future, so you have to get this project done before you start the next one. And use EFT, or tapping, to overcome your procrastination. You'll discover if you use EFT, when you're feeling some resistance or starting to hesitate to get things done, then you'll wake up one day, and before you know it, you'll be excited to get started on it, or you'll actually finish that project you've been putting off. If you liked what you heard today, and you're committed to overcoming procrastination, you can find Carol's new self-study training program, Eliminate Procrastination, Tapping Your Way from Self-Sabotage to Success, at tiny.cc/527ERW. And if you go to katherine-mckinnon.com and sign up there, I'll send you productivity tips and the latest time management techniques. You'll also find my blog,
as well as information about training programs and my book, Triple Your Time Today, and personal and corporate coaching. So sign up on my website and let me know how to reach you. It's the only way I can share additional information with you. Thank you for listening to Time Management Radio. Set aside time to join me next week for a fresh look at maximizing your productivity. Until then, remember, it's not how much time you have that matters. What really matters is how you spend the time you have.